It's good to have you with us tonight, and we're going to just have a short lesson from the Word of God about some lovely things that the wise men brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But does anybody tonight know, and I'm speaking to the children, does anybody know what the word counterfeit means? That's a big word. Counterfeit. If something's counterfeit, what is it? Do you know? Fake, that's right. It's not genuine. It's not the real article. It's not the real deal. And you need to be very careful whenever you're out Christmas shopping. Especially if you go to the markets or somewhere outside of a retailer or some guy that's selling presents out of the boot of his Volvo, or you order something online, that you don't get something counterfeit. Now, I've got a bag here full of counterfeit goods, okay? And I'm going to try and sell you some of them. Anybody tonight want a cheap Xbox? Put up your hand. I will sell you tonight Xbox, brand new. I just got it yesterday for £5. Who's into it? Who wants an Xbox for £5? Okay. Right, you're going to... Okay, here it is. £5 for the Xbox. Who wants it? £5, come on now. Xbox, that's what I said. I said £5 for an Xbox. And everybody said, there's no eggs in it either. It's cheap. Okay, here's a better deal. I've got a box of brand new iPads that have never been used, okay? Box of brand... There's 10 iPads in this box, okay? And I will give you the entire box for £50, okay? For 10 brand new iPads. Who wants 10 new iPads? Okay? Wait till we see if I can get the iPads. Okay, there you go. Relieves and relaxes tired eyes. 10 new iPads. Never been used. Boxes never opened. £50. Who's going to buy them? Oh, you're keen. That's great. I'll see you after. Okay, here's another good deal for you. An Apple Watch. Okay? I will sell you tonight an Apple Watch, £7.50. Hardly ever been used. Just needs a new battery. Yeah, okay. Here's the Apple Watch. Made this part of myself, okay? So you can put this on at school and you can tell the time, and there's an Apple there. Never been used. Brand new Apple. Who wants it? £7.50. Tell you... These kids are easy sorted out. Okay. Okay, this is a really good idea. A Rolex. Who's ever heard of a Rolex? One of the best watches money can buy. Okay, who wants a Rolex? I'll sell you for £3. Okay, you want the Rolex. Okay, this has never been used either. There it is. Rolex. Who's interested in the Rolex? No? Okay. That's right, a Rolex. Was anybody here a teenager in the 1990s? No. Do you remember Cool Water? All you men. I've got a big bargain barrel of Cool Water for you. And I'll give you it for £5. Here it is, Cool Water. That's been sitting outside all afternoon. Nice and cool. Okay, but seriously, I've got a free tablet for everybody before you go. Okay? For bad breath, little Tic Tac. Okay, you get these before you go. Now, you're maybe a little bit disappointed, okay, about all those counterfeit things that I had. And it just wasn't as you thought it was going to be. And you know, whenever it comes to spiritual things, many people don't have the real thing. Some people maybe go to church, but they don't know Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody comes to Sunday school and they learn their memory verses, and that's good, but that's not going to get them to heaven. Maybe somebody else thinks, well, I'm a really good person. I was told one time by a minister that if I live a good life and try my best, I'm going to heaven. But you don't have real Bible salvation. And many people, tragically, boys and girls, mums and dads as well, someday are going to be disappointed whenever they realize that they don't have the real thing. And whenever they don't get to heaven, as they maybe think they're getting to heaven, and they think they're going to heaven, and they think they've got it, but they don't have the real thing. Because there's a lot of counterfeit messages and counterfeit gospels going about. But I want to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ is genuine. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, means exactly what He says. If He promises to give you something, He will give you it. If He promises, for example, to forgive you your sin, if you ask Him, He will do that. He promises to give you a new life and a new beginning and a new start. He promises to give you peace in your heart. He promises to be with you in life's journey. And He promises to take those who love Him and know Him one day to heaven. And He means exactly what He says. But if you try to get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, and you don't have the real thing, you've got something counterfeit, you're going to be disappointed. But the Bible says He was full of grace and truth. Now, all of those gifts that I had tonight weren't really the real thing. Not as you thought they were going to be anyway. But I just want to speak for a few moments tonight, in the time that is left, about some gifts. Some gifts that surround the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we read here in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 2 and verse number 11, about wise men, and they came from the east and they worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ, and they brought gifts of gold and of frankincense and of myrrh. Now the Bible says that these wise men, they came from the east. Now we're not exactly sure just how many wise men there were. This picture has 3. And most people think there were 3, but there might have only been 2. There might have been more than 3. There might have been 5 or 6 or 12. We're not sure exactly how many wise men there were, but we are told that the wise men, they brought 3 gifts. Now the word for wise men is an old word, magi, from which we get the word magicians. Now these wise men were very, very intelligent men. They weren't silly men, they weren't stupid, they were very wise and very intelligent. Most people think that they were probably scientists of their day or astronomers, and they were very intelligent, and they knew that soon to be born, just outside of Jerusalem, in a little town called Bethlehem, a Savior was coming. They knew that. And you maybe would think, well, how would they know? They weren't from Israel. They were from far, far away in the east, probably modern-day Babylon. Well, do you remember the story of Daniel, who was thrown into the lion's den, and the 3 friends called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Well, Daniel came from Israel, and hundreds of years before the Lord was born, he was brought to Babylon in the east. And in Babylon, he wrote a book called Daniel, after his name, and he recorded something of his own life. But he also told about a Savior who would come. And these wise men had been reading, in all likelihood, the book of Daniel, and they knew a Savior's coming. And Daniel recorded in his prophecy the time that he would come, and they knew that the time was drawing near. And God guided them, the Bible says, by a special star all the way to Bethlehem. And Bethlehem means the house of bread. That's important, because Jesus Christ was the bread of life, and He was born in Bethlehem, the house of bread. And whenever the wise men got to Bethlehem, the Bible says they presented unto Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now I'm not sure how big the piece of gold was that they brought. Probably quite small, because Mary and Joseph never enjoyed great riches, neither did the Lord Jesus. Probably just a small piece of gold. And whenever those wise men traveled all that great distance to meet the Lord and to see the Savior and to worship Him, one of them presented gold before Him and gave Him this gift of gold. And that's important, because in the Bible, whenever we think of gold, we think of riches, we think of wealth, we think maybe of a king, someone who wears a crown of gold, someone who maybe sits upon a throne of gold, somebody who has a big golden scepter in their hand. And gold reminds us that Jesus Christ is the King. Herod asked the question, another king, where is he who is born King of the Jews? And boys and girls tonight, one of the most important things that you need to realize if you're going to become a Christian and give your life to Jesus Christ, that He is King. King of kings and Lord of lords. He was born King of the Jews. And whenever they nailed Him to a cross, they had a sign above His head, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And He wants us to understand that He's King. And whenever you come to Him, you need to realize He wants to be King of my life. And if He's King of my life, I will want to serve Him and honor Him and obey Him and love Him and respect Him. And then another man, one of these wise men, brought frankincense. Now, I'm not exactly sure what frankincense looked like, but it was some type of sweet perfume. Way hundreds of years ago, whenever people worshipped God in a place called the tabernacle and then the temple, there was an altar, and on the altar there were burning coals, and they would have come in and they would have sprinkled frankincense upon that altar, and the hot coals would have caused the temple or the tabernacle to fill with this sweet-smelling incense. And in the Bible we read in the book of Exodus that frankincense was known for its purity and its sweet-smelling savour, its sweet fragrance. Maybe like a perfume or an aftershave, something that mum and dad would wear, something that smells nice, and as well something that was very expensive and it speaks of purity. You see, those wise men knew that this one that is born today is not only the King, but He's also somebody who's going to live a life of absolute purity and perfection. And as the Lord Jesus Christ lived His life on this earth, His life was always pleasing and a sweet fragrance and a sweet savour unto God in heaven. He's the only person that ever lived a perfect life. Now, all of us have done things that are wrong. Every single one of us, we have maybe at times been cheeky or dishonest to our parents. We have said things that aren't entirely true. We've maybe told an outright lie. We've maybe stolen something that doesn't belong to us. We've maybe used God's name or the name of Jesus Christ lightly and without thought. And we've maybe just done our own thing on God's special day. And we have put other things before God. And we do and think and say things that God is not happy with. And the Bible calls that sin. But Jesus Christ was different. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He was never tempted or desired to do anything wrong. His life was perfect. And then one of the other wise men brought another gift, a gift of myrrh. And that would have been wrapped up maybe in tissue paper or some type of paper. And inside there was a little jar that would have been easily broken, and it would have been filled with a special ointment that was called myrrh. And it as well had a sweet savour. But the thing about myrrh was, whenever somebody passed away in a Hebrew family, maybe a child or a father or a mother or a husband or wife, people would have saved up maybe for a long, long time, maybe a year's wages almost, and they would have purchased a jar or a little bottle of myrrh. And whenever that person was about to be buried, they would have taken the myrrh and they would have covered their body with this cream, with this ointment, and then they would have wrapped up the body in grave clothes and maybe a little bit more myrrh, and they would have put it into the grave to lie to rest. And that myrrh, it preserved the body a little bit. It stopped the smells and the decay from really taking effect for a little time. And myrrh speaks of death. And so those wise men, they really were wise, because they knew this one that's born is the King. And we're going to acknowledge Him as King. And we're going to also give Him frankincense, because His life is going to be perfect. And we'll present Him with myrrh as well, so that whenever He comes to be buried, His parents or whoever it is that's burying Him will have myrrh to lay Him in the grave. You see, they knew that He was going to die. And everybody tonight needs to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world not just to live and then go back to heaven, but he came into this world to live and then to go to a cross and to lay down his life because of our sin. The Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And isn't it amazing to think that that little baby who was lying that night in that manger in Bethlehem was going to grow up and do absolutely nothing wrong, and then wicked men would take him and they would nail him to a cross, and on the cross he would die. But he died for our sins, the Bible says, according to the Scriptures. And he died to purchase for us a gift. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life, and that gift is genuine. The Bible says that salvation, having our sins forgiven and having a relationship with God and coming to know God and to be reconciled to our Creator, the Bible says that salvation is a gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. And that gift was purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ through his life and his death upon the cross and his resurrection. And I can tell you tonight, on the authority of the Bible and from personal experience, that God's gift of salvation is real, it's authentic, it's genuine. It's not some counterfeit thing that you think you're getting something else. Whenever God says in the Bible that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life, you know, God means it. Now, the thing about a gift is this. If somebody that you know and love offers you a gift, you can either reject it and say, no thanks, I don't want your gift, and offend them and cause them to be saddened. Or you can say, you bought that for me, and it's going to be mine if I take it. And you were thinking about me when you bought this gift, and they offer you the gift, and you say, thank you so much, and you reach out your hand, and you graciously and you humbly accept it, and you say, it's mine. You can do exactly the same with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, and let me finish just by reading two verses of Scripture from John's Gospel, chapter number 1, and verse 11 and verse 12. Listen to what it says. He, that's the Son of God, came unto his own people, his friends, his neighbors, his countrymen, his tribe, his nation. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. They said, no, we don't want you in our lives. We don't want you in our nation. We don't want you in our kingdom. No thanks, just go away again. And they rejected him. They didn't receive him. But then it goes on to say, but as many as received him. There were people that said, yes, did you really come from heaven into this world because you loved me and you wanted to save me? Yes, I did. Well, I want to receive you into my life, and I trust you and I take you now as my Savior. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. You know, tonight in this world, there's only two types of people. Did you know that? And I'm not talking about man and woman. I'm not talking about rich and poor. I'm not thinking about the color of our skin. I'm not thinking about our background or what religion we might be. There's only two types of people in this world. Those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, and those who haven't. And I wonder tonight, which group are you in? Speaking to mums and dads as well. Have you received him? Or do you say, no thanks, I understand the gospel. I understand that the Son of God came into this world and he's the King. And I know that he lived a perfect life. And I know that he died upon a cross. But you know, I don't really want him in my life. What a sad, sad thing whenever Jesus Christ offers you so, so much. I trust tonight that you'll receive him and Take it into your life and into your heart and trust in the Lord and receive the gift that He gives of salvation and of eternal life. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. It's real. It's authentic. It's genuine. Let's pray together and then we'll sing another hymn just before we part company tonight.